Hi friends, welcome to this week's episode of You Can Rest Here. These are the conversations you have always wanted to have, except this time with a lot of biblical truth, laughter, beautiful and maybe uncomfortable silences, all leading to an increased awareness of the presence of God. Finally, we shall learn a rhythm of rest in a restless world. My name is Mazino Malaka. You can rest here.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the very last episode of season one. We have gotten to episode 12, guys. I don't even know how to feel. I think some of us are, well, all of us so far are quite sad. So for that sadness, I'm going to try and cure it with a lot of laughter in this episode, because as you are sad, me also, I'm feeling it. I don't know what my Thursdays are going to be like without hitting record and playing something or listening to the episodes. Like, I don't know what Thursday will look like without You Can Rest Here, but guys, we're gonna be okay. And this last episode, we're gonna have a lot of fun. And even following on from this, we have a lot of exciting things coming your way. But welcome again to the very last episode of season one. Like I promised on the Instagram page. Yes, claps, claps, claps. I hope you can get that sound effect going. On the Instagram page, we announced that we were going to do a fan episode, meaning one of our listeners would join me in my little home studio and we would record together. And that's what's happening today. I have the fan of all fans. You know why this fan is especially special is because our love and friendship has grown so much in the course of these episodes. Every week, this person posts online saying, "Oh my God, this is my favorite episode. Oh my God, this is my favorite episode," to every single episode. So it was only right that we had the fan of all fans, the fave of all faves, join us today. And I'm really excited because she's taking control of this podcast. Like, anything she wants to ask is what goes. Whatever conversation she wants to have is what goes. And yeah, I welcome you, Efwa, to the You Can Rest Here podcast.
Thank you.
I'm so excited to be here. My name is Efwa.
Tell us something about you.
Okay, so my side job, I work as a lawyer and I'm a civil servant. Full time, I'm a daughter of God.
I like that.
Yeah.
And that responds. Full time, I'm a child of God, but part time I do.
Yeah, sometimes I just, I pop in.
Dibble and dab.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you, and I know everyone else is going to be so excited to get to know you as well. What has been your favorite episode so far and why?
Every episode is my favorite episode. Oh. Everybody knows it, but my favorite episode, my all-time favorite episode was, I know this was almost everybody's favorite episode, but it is in fact Two Girls and a Good God, because I really love that episode. I didn't know that I'd been masquerading fear as wisdom as well, and the Lord really healed me during that episode, because I remember just pausing halfway and just crying and praying and telling God to heal me, which he did. And which is because there were two statements that really got to me during that episode was, God, show me how good it gets, which I've also started to pray. And then the second one was this proverb in Igbo that I cannot remember, but I know it meant if you praise a warrior for doing something good, he will do it again. Yeah. So I've really been living by that. Anyways, that was my favorite episode.
I love it.
Okay. So what was your favorite episode? And why, obviously?
I think my favorite episode so far has been It's Okay to Not Be Okay. And why I would say that is because sometimes people talk about not being okay as a form of history, right? I wasn't okay, but I was stuck in it, right? And it was very present and real to me at that given time that I wasn't okay at all. What this podcast has done for me, and even in my relationship with God, is that it's made me very vulnerable and honest with God. I was always vulnerable with God, but it forced me to not perform, even in the secret place, to pretend to him that I was okay. But now I could comfortably sit there and tell him that, God, dude, I'm not going to go and lie to these people who are pretending to be fine. I'm actually not fine. So you need to help me get it together. Because this podcast for me wasn't just a show. I think some people record things and it's like, lights, camera, action. But this podcast was real to my present day. Wherever I was is where I would release from, right? Mm-hmm. So I had to always be right. And when I did that episode, I was struggling.
Yeah.
Being able to do an episode while struggling is almost like Paul being in prison, writing letters to people. Like being able to encourage people in suffering whilst you are also suffering. That birthed a new level of faith and a new love and compassion for people that I've never experienced, you know. So yeah, I really enjoyed that episode. That I would say is currently my number one episode. But I love them all.
Yeah.
Like I was saying to you, a lot of people keep saying to me, Maz, you're a natural. Like you just do this so easily. And I keep saying back, this is the hardest thing I have ever had to do in my entire life. Like, I am a writer. I love to write. I can write for days and just keep pouring out my heart in writing. But speaking, like even public speaking, like I'd rather enter the ground. But somehow, I think God is teaching me to respect the anointing on my voice.
Yeah.
And just respect my individuality. And I think I've also come to understand that I don't sound like anybody else.
Maybe
I just sound like me. And sometimes I'm like, oh, I wish I sounded like really fun. I mean, I hope you guys think I'm fun. I wish I sounded like really fun and really like over the top, but it's not, that's not really me. I'm quite composed and my humor is dark. My humor is dark, but my heart is light. So I think that's one thing that I've noticed as well.
Okay, so I wanted to ask, what was the hardest episode for you to record?
The hardest episode for me to record was the advice episode. And not because the content of it was difficult, but Nigeria is a very loud place, especially Lagos. So I had gone through the day, I woke up really early trying to record, and people just kept shouting. My neighbors, their children kept shouting. So I thought, once they go to school, I'll start. Then people came to start hammering and drilling things in the wall of the next door neighbor. So I was like, okay, I need to put this podcast up tomorrow. Today I will have to record, because on top of recording I have to edit. So then I wait till evening. Of course, like, it's evening time.
Yeah.
Quieter. Next thing you know, those same people hammering are still hammering. And now the generator is loud. Because NEPA has been taking light, so the gen is on. So that day was that it was a very difficult day. I remember like literally bursting out in tears, because I'm like, God, I'm trying to obey you, but you're making it really hard, right? And it's still God's fault that
Yeah.
nonsense the whole day. But it was just, it felt so sacrificial of my time and my energy on top of working, on top of everything else I had to do. I now had to worry about the fact that I hadn't recorded. So there were definitely a lot of moments like that. But what just kept me going is you guys, like knowing that there was someone on a Thursday who was going to wake up and look for an episode that could potentially be a lifeline to them. I've had people who were about to commit suicide sending a message saying that they feel like they can live again. Now, if so much is tied to my obedience, think of how much detrimental work my disobedience does to people. So as hard as that was, I would do it over again, and I would do all 12 episodes over again, even though it was bloody hard at times.
Yeah.
And you know, your girl doesn't have a studio yet, calling all sponsors. So it's been tough, you know, because there's no soundproofing. So I'm sure sometimes you've heard some weird noises, and that's really just because all we have is a mic and a laptop. But God is doing miracles.
Yeah. With our fish and loaves.
Yes, with our fish and loaves, there is an increase.
Okay, I think I speak for the people, the fans, when I say, like, I think we want to get to know you a bit better. So I know that you went to law school. I know that you studied law. And now you're not really practicing. You're not a practicing lawyer. You're doing a bunch of other stuff, but not particularly law-related. You're into wellness. You're doing this podcast. You're doing a bunch of other stuff. So how have you been able to navigate that? How have you been able to navigate leaving your actual degree and just plunging headfirst into wherever God wants you to be?
First thing I have to mention is that I have two freaking amazing parents, and those two people have let me fly. Not everybody is blessed to have the people that I have.
Friends.
And I don't take it for granted that what my parents want to see always is dedication and hard work. And once they see that, they're on board, right? They are not looking for you to be a doctor or a lawyer. I mean, I think my dad still had hopes for me to keep my law degree going, but he loves that I love what I do. He loves that I come alive doing what I do, and he loves seeing the fruit of what I do, right? It's difficult. How do I manage everything? I think I manage everything purely by the grace of God, right? I don't have a lot of time for myself. The other day, I started crying when I was painting my nails. And you'd be like, why were you crying when you were painting your nails? Because painting my nails signified to me taking care of myself, and oftentimes I neglect myself, right? So being able to paint my nails was a sign that, like, it almost felt like God saying to me, I really care about you, and I want you to take this 20 minutes that you're not on a call, that you're not working, to paint your nails. And I wept, because a big part of walking with God is sacrifice.
Yeah.
Paying a price with your time, with your money, with your energy, just being generous at pouring everything you have onto the Lord, oftentimes without earthly reward,
mm-hmm.
or a pat on the back or an applause.
Yeah.
Getting all your satisfaction from the fact that the Father is pleased, right? So it's not easy, but I wouldn't trade my life for anything else, because I see the fruits.
Yeah.
I see the fruits through this podcast. I see the fruits with my clients,
yeah.
who have been transformed in their nutrition and their wellness. I see the fruits in every aspect of my life, in ministry, in my teams. I see the fruits every day. So how do I manage it? It is purely by the grace of God, and also just taking a chance on myself.
Yeah.
I think I'm able to be like, Maz, there's nothing you cannot. And why can I say that? Because I've seen God do impossible things in me.
Uh-huh.
And this is me speaking to anybody who hasn't given a chance or taken a chance on themselves. Until you do, you will not know what you carry. Until you do, you will not know that you can be consistent.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, until you do, until you take that step, you won't know what's inside of you, because you will be like the one who buried their seed in the ground and was meant to bring a harvest, but instead just put everything in the ground because you were too afraid to try anything. I always get like questions when people ask me, Are you, like, afraid to show up as you, you know, knowing that, like, a lot of my friends may not be saved or may think that I'm overdoing this God thing, you know? And I'm like, actually, no. Because everybody's vocal about something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fine, you know, when people are vocal about what they want to be vocal about. But no one ever tells anyone to tone it down when they're being vocal about how much they love fashion and makeup. But the moment you're vocal about the Lord, it then begins to be a thing of tone it down a bit. You're sounding a bit like an extremist, like you need to relax. And what I've learned is like Paul says, woe to me if I don't spread the gospel. I deplete and I die every time that I don't walk in alignment with the will of God for my life. So it's not a matter of I'm trying to make you happy or unhappy. I'm trying to be in God's will, because if I'm not in his will, I am starving. I am dying.
That's so true. And everybody's blessed for it. Yes. Like every life that you encounter is blessed for your obedience. So thank God. Okay, so I feel like you've spoken a bit about your struggle with unforgiveness. So would you like to tell us how that's kind of looked like and how you're dealing with it, how it's looking now?
So, yes, I have been honest that the sin that has really been ensnaring me, tripping me up, is unforgiveness. And I want to make it known that it is a sin. I think some people think that, oh, I'm just dealing with... No, unforgiveness is a sin. It's not good to harbor it in your heart. It's not good for your heart. It's not good for your soul. What I will say is this, right? And I think it's been true for a lot of people. Unforgiveness is not something you must. It's something you continually are being pruned in. Anything God teaches you in this life, he continually prunes. If God teaches you self-control, you are not now a self-controlled believer.
Yeah.
The Bible says that even the good fruits of your life, he will prune it to make even better fruits. So the fact that I'm dealing with unforgiveness, the fact that I'm still being pruned in this area, is a sign that I have cultivated good fruits in this area, but God wants to make even better ones. Right. So what I'm walking through currently is trying to navigate my thought life when I think about people who have wronged me. What I'm also doing is also seeing how my actions led to the outcome that happened. You know, everyone loves when they read the Bible. You read stories like Joseph and the brothers, and you love to think that you were Joseph. But actually, you were his brothers. So I'm humbling myself enough to be like, okay, God, yes, I want to forgive, but I also want you to be honest with me. How did I do wrong in this situation? So I'm walking in it by letting God renew my thought life, how I think about the people that have hurt me. Am I just saying that I love them and wish the best for them, or do I really?
Yeah.
If I see them doing well, will I applaud them, or will I be like, ah, God, you're still blessing this one, you know? So I'm really letting God enter into my mind and tell me what inside of there still needs pruning by the love of God and by the word of God. And it's been very convicting.
Yeah.
But what I will say is I've noticed changes. There are dreams I used to have about certain people in my life that I would just be so angry at them and charge towards them. But now I have dreams and I'm hugging those people and I'm loving them. So I know that my mind is changing. My mind is being renewed, you know. So it's really hard, especially when it's the people closest to you that hurt you the most. It can be really difficult to get over. But what I do know is that there is nothing the love of God cannot defeat.
Mm.
The love of God is capable of pulling down any stronghold in your mind and in your heart. And teaching your soul to rest, the love of God is capable.
Okay, so I feel like now that I'm thinking about it, I can be very unforgiving and just like let it pass. Like, is sometimes like I can mask indifference and think it's just indifference, but actually it's
it's unforgiveness, it's bitterness, it's just growing, and I just allow it grow. So in a sense, realizing this is even a healing process. Yes. Because accepting obviously is the first step, like knowing like this is something that needs work on. And God, I think God really values honesty.
He does. All he reads up to, but he's healing, friend. He values it so much. That's why David was called a man after God's heart, because of his honesty. Well, David wasn't a man after God's heart because he was a perfect human being. He was flawed deeply, but he was honest. That's why you see the transparency and the honesty in the book of Psalms is what made him a man after God's own heart.
He really does honor honesty.
That's because he honors relationship.
Yeah.
So we couldn't have everybody that wanted to be on this episode join, but we managed to get recordings from a few of our members in our little community. We still don't have a name yet, but we're working on it. And I'm going to play you one from a girl called Kachi. And this really just blessed my heart to know that someone got so much out of this season.
Listening to the podcast in this season has just refined my thought process and also fueled my passion for the Lord. I see that God is love, for he sent his son to die for mankind. Yet at the same time, I'm able to see that God is holy, and that holiness requires that we come up to a higher standard. He is calling us to come up to a higher standard, to be set apart. So it's okay to come just as I am, but I don't have to remain as I am. That when I walk with God, my mind is renewed and there's transformation that happens in my life as I journey with the Father. Thank you.
I love that. Like, I really enjoyed the fact that she spoke about the love of God and also the holiness and the lordship of God. So acknowledging that, yes, God is loving and he's kind, but God is also so holy, and he's attracted to good. He's attracted to holiness.
Yeah.
You know, one thing that I promise God that I would never do is to preach a gospel that is compromised, a gospel that is fast and is just palatable to the flesh, because it's not, right? So many of the things that God asks us to do are so anti the flesh. If somebody slaps you, you give them the other cheek, girl, I will knock you out, right? But, you know, that is the way of the kingdom. That's like, people will be like, what do you mean? If you slap me, I give you the other cheek, you slap me again. So I should then give you the other cheek that you hurt again? Because sometimes people don't just hurt you twice. They hurt you 3-4 times.
Yeah.
So it's just so interesting how much we have to die in order to live.
Yeah.
Right? But when we live in the love of the Father, and that is the safest place ever. So Kachi, I'm just so blessed by your testimony. I'm glad that this podcast and the Word of God has been used to transform your heart and remind you that you are transformed in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So there was a part of scripture we were just talking about, and it's Jesus speaking to the disciples, and he says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. And I believe God is like changing the way I think about this scripture to not just mean, if you love me, you show me you love me by keeping my commands, but instead that if you love me, a natural response of your love for me is that my commands would be kept, is that you wouldn't disobey me. And what that does is that it strips off the striving, it removes the performance, and just leaves you at ease and at rest, knowing that out of the abundance of the love you have for God, you will
please him.
You will naturally obey.
Yeah.
If I say that I love someone, I'll just naturally want them to be happy. Yes. I'll naturally want to please them. I'll naturally want to hurt them. Of course. And something that I've been learning is understanding the love of God and seeing God as a father, because I realized that it wasn't something that I knew. It wasn't something that I understood. It wasn't something that I understood, because I remember telling God, like, you know, there's God the Son, there's God the Holy Spirit, but for God the Father, I could never really call him Father. Even people, because I didn't see him in that way. There are things that if I tell my father, oh, I need money,
And he says, okay, I'm going to get it for you. I won't think about it again. I would honestly believe, rest assured, that I'm going to get money. But with God the Father, I didn't see him in that way. I read books and people were like, oh, they have nicknames, that they're calling him Daddy, they're calling him Papa. People are even calling him Abba. I'm like, I don't know how to do that with you. And if I'm going to do it, I need it to be honest. So I need you to teach me. I need you to show me how to be Father. And I mentioned earlier, it was while I was also watching Tiffany Montgomery's video where she says how God perfected her in the office of a daughter. And I was like, okay, you know what? Teach me how to be a daughter. And then afterward, I think one defining moment, funny enough, it was actually relating to money. So this money scarcity, and everyone was talking about how, you know, their parents were flying from all over to give them money. I was like, oh, it must be nice, because I wasn't in the position where I could ask my dad. So I was going to work and I was like, okay, God, give me money. And so I went to work that day and people literally gave me money. And I was like, oh, okay. Give me clothes then.
Mm-hmm.
And someone gave me clothes at that church. And so I started to see, like, I'm not saying like it was only these things that made me see him as a father, but I started to see that he was attentive to me. I started to see him as father. And the result of that was that I stopped worrying. And I've always been a worrier. So it was very strange to me. I remember telling someone, like, I feel like I'm in a bubble. I feel like I don't have to worry about anything. Like, I just pray and I'm like, okay, God will sort it out. And I was like, ah. And then later on, I found out that the devil was trying to sow seeds of discord in that. He's trying to make me think, oh, are you really resting in God's love or are you being lazy? Like, what's going on here? You think worrying is who you are. Worrying is how you know that you're productive. Worrying is how you know that you're getting somewhere in life. If you don't worry, nothing is going to happen.
Yeah. So I guess for you, worry became like an addiction, right? Some people think that you can only be addicted to drugs and alcohol.
But yeah. Like,
worry literally became something that you needed to know you were doing something, to know that you were effective. But it's not. It's actually ineffective to worry. And even God clothing you and feeding you and giving you money, it's all scripture, right? It says that he dresses the lily. There's an analogy that the Lord constantly shows me whenever I give something to him, like a fear or a worry. Because, you know, it's so easy for so many of us to give something to God and then take it back. So in the place of prayer, you say, God, this issue I'm having, I give it to you. I trust you. I surrender it all to you. Next thing you know, when you get up from your knees, you're taking all the worry, all the stress, all the anxiety alongside with you, right? What I'm learning is that if I do that, I am effectively saying to the Lord that you cannot be trusted. I don't trust you. You are not trustworthy. So as much as my words say that I trust you, my actions will never show you that I trust you. It's like having a boyfriend and you say to him, like, babe, I trust you. Like, I trust what you're saying to me. I trust the love that you give me. But every time he leaves his phone, you scan through it. You don't trust that person.
Yeah.
Your actions are speaking louder than
your words.
And I was saying to a group of people the other day that if I trust God, that means that I must trust the timing and the pace.
Yeah, Lord.
Trusting God alone is not enough, because some people trust God and then when God doesn't do something in the timing, it's like I'm withdrawing my trust. I don't trust you again, right?
Yeah.
I wonder why right now I still don't have the money to buy a house. I wonder why right now I still don't have the money to buy a car, right? I wonder why right now there's so much that I wish I could do, but I cannot do. It's not feasible for me in this place. Now, these are things that often I'm asking God for.
Yeah.
I will not go to the Lord now and say that he's irresponsible and he cannot be trusted because I have not seen the manifestation of these things. Because trusting God means that I must trust that if God has not given me the money and the means to buy a car right now, it is not time. If God has not given me the money and the means to buy a house right now, it is not time. If I walk in the pace and will of God, I can never suffer from delay.
100%.
I can never suffer from oh my God, God is not doing something. If you believe that there is delay, then you believe that God's timing is off.
Yeah.
His timing can never be off. His timing is always right. That's why when Mary came to Jesus and she said to him, can you turn this water into wine, that the people need wine? Jesus said to her, my time has not yet come. This is someone who was so submitted to the timing of the Father that he was like, if this has not happened yet, it's not because I cannot do it, right? Or God cannot do it. It's just not that time. However, the moment it was time, Jesus performed that miracle. Even if it was seconds after, he could now do it. Why? Not because God changed his mind because of Mary. Like, Mary isn't the reason why all of a sudden God would be like, okay, because your mommy asked, you know, turn this water into wine. No, the reason was that it became time. And I believe that for so many people, it is becoming time. It is becoming time for those things you've waited on God for to manifest. It is becoming time for the maturity of that business you've been trying to build. It is becoming time for that idea to become a full-blown manifestation. It is becoming time for you to not just read the word and consume it, but for you to go and preach the gospel. It is becoming time. But you have to learn not to despise the days of small beginnings.
My God, when I was walking into your apartment, I was like, oh God, when will I have enough to... Exactly what you were saying.
Yeah.
And God said to me, don't despise where you are.
That's right.
Don't, like, because there's so many things that I want, and that is exactly what I was saying this morning. Like, when I was praying, I was feeling so heavy because I just felt like there were 100 things that I wanted that I couldn't have. I was like, oh God, how far, like, what's going on? And he kept saying, don't despise where you are. It's not because he doesn't want us to have these things or he doesn't want us to enjoy, but for the most part, there's a training that needs to be done.
Who we are becoming is better than what God gives us.
Yeah.
So who I have become in the waiting, the fruits that have come out of my life in long suffering are greater than any fruits that will come out of my life in fast-paced, quick success at overnight, whatever. You know what I mean? I don't despise the hiddenness. I don't despise the years and hours of just sitting before the Lord, quietly contemplating his word. I don't despise that. And then I also don't now despise the time of coming out and stepping into what God has called us to do. Like, but will you wait?
Will you wait?
Will you wait? The Bible says, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount upon wings as eagles.
Yeah.
They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run and they will not faint. If you don't learn how to wait, even when beautiful things happen to you, you will not have the capacity. Why? Because the capacity is birthed in the waiting. You know, people ask me all the time, how can you be so consistent with so many things, right? It's because I was consistent with things when nobody could see and nobody could applaud me. That's where I learned consistency, underground, in the hiddenness. When nobody could say, wow, Maz, your consistency is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Waking up every day when God would tell me in a certain season to pray at 3 a.m., to pray at 5 a.m., to pray at 12 a.m. for 2 hours. Nobody could see that. And that's what birthed consistency and discipline, right? So oftentimes we believe that it's when we get there that we develop discipline for that place.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't develop it now, you will never have it. Like, Jesus developed discipline for everything he did after he was 30 in those years where nobody could see him. Who knew him?
Yeah.
All they knew was that he was a man who went to the temple. He would always be in his temple. His mother would be looking for him. He would be in the temple. So there's so much pruning, character defining that happens in the hiddenness we must never despise it, because who you wish to be comes out of who you are daily. That dream girl or guy you want to be is not just going to happen overnight. It's going to happen daily, with consistency, with discipline, and with pruning. And one day you will wake up and see yourself and be like, wow, I'm mighty fine.
Yeah. And I feel like, I don't know how true this is, but I feel like the length of your weight or the length of your training is almost equal to what you're going to do, or what he's the office that you're going to carry. Because Jesus being hidden for 30 years is an insane time to be hidden as the Son of God, knowing that you are God walking the earth and just living as a carpenter is an insane thing to do for just 3 years of 3 years of work, which has lasted generations.
So now we're still talking.
Yeah.
To an end of time. You know what I think that is so true. And I also think that, for example, there are people who lived till they were 18.
Mm.
But what they did for the Lord and for the kingdom of God is it outlives generations, you know? So all it is, beyond the timing in terms of years and minutes and seconds, is just your commitment every day. If God wanted Jesus to begin miracles and discipling at the age of 18, it would have happened. And it would still have such an echo and a reverberation to the ends of the earth, right? So one thing I want us to unlearn is that our suffering, the length of our suffering, is akin to how much glory, you know? Like, I feel like there's now a portion of, it's like, I would never say that just because me have suffered though, and somebody looks like they haven't suffered, I have more rights to an earthly or heavenly reward than that person. It's wrong, you know? So yes, we will all suffer, and we must suffer well, because a big part of suffering,
not well,
just it's not just suffering, but it's suffering well. Honestly, it is.
Yeah. Like,
I don't enjoy suffering.
No, no.
You know, I think of when I had to end my then 5-year relationship, and the analogy the Lord gave me was of Abraham and Isaac. So I'm then like, I see a vision, and I see myself like taking my ex-boyfriend up a mountain. I'm not joking. You don't make this stuff up. I'm taking him up a mountain, like, to like crucify him. And I'm like, okay, God, it's giving Abraham and Isaac. It's giving, you know, about to sacrifice you, but then I don't. And then I lay him there, and then I'm like, okay, God, like, this person is still alive. Like, Abraham and Isaac, we know anything about that story.
Yeah.
Isaac still lives and comes back to Abraham.
Yeah.
And the Lord says to me very strictly, he says, not every Isaac comes back to you. Not every Isaac comes back to you. I guess the Isaac will go back to the world. But like, somebody else is going to take that Isaac, you know, and that Isaac is definitely not yours. That was one of the hardest decisions I had to make, right? And it caused me a lot of pain at the time, a lot of suffering. I mean, no one goes into dating someone for 5 years and then believes it's going to end. Of course, you think you foresee it till the very end of time, but it just wasn't it, right?
Okay, so one question that's been on my mind, and I think I want to ask you, is how do you differentiate between what God is saying to you and your thoughts? Like, how do you tell, like, if you ask God something, whether it is the response is from God or it's just you speaking?
I think there is a process of what you do before and what you do after to discern if it's you or it's God. When it comes to what I do before, is that if I'm going to ask God something, I first ask him to clean my heart.
Mm.
Because if I go in with a heart that is already ripened to hear what I want, then I will hear what I want. Mm-hmm. But if I go in with a heart that's like, okay, God, say what you want to say, do what you want to do. And what that looks like is just even worshiping God to strip away your own thoughts, worshiping him, looking at his face. When you are so consumed with looking at the Lord, it's very hard to start looking at yourself.
Mm.
What you will hear is God,
yeah.
Right? Like, I give you an example again with this, what I shared about the breakup. What state was I in that God could even tell me that I should end that relationship? Mm-hmm. I literally was sick that day, really, really sick. And I remember I was listening to Do See All You Can the whole day. And I slept and I had a vivid dream where God literally said to me, I was not in alignment with his will by being in this relationship. I was in the presence of God. It was like nothing I could hear would have been anything but God. And I was convinced that it was God because of where I was before I heard it, because of the state of my heart before I heard what I heard. Because if I heard what I heard when I was busy scrolling and looking at all our lovely pictures together, I would have been like, yeah, you know, God, you're just chatty, you know? But I heard, or that was a mistake, what you said. But I heard it when my heart was in a place of quiet contemplation. I was in a place of rest. I was literally in and only in the presence of God. So God can speak his truth there, right? And what I found is that God doesn't shout when he's speaking to us. It was very soft. It was very easy. It just flowed, you know? It wasn't angry and like trying to startle me. It was very calm. So that's what I would do before. Now, after I take that word to the Lord, I present it to him and I say, if this is you, show me that it was you. Show me in your word that it was you. And that's what they call discernment, right? Is checking and balancing, weighing it against the word of God, testing the spirit of what you have heard and what you have seen. And one of my favorite scriptures in Jeremiah 6:16, it says, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. So oftentimes you have to stand at that crossroad and be like, okay, God, is it left or right? How are we going? And then it says, ask for the ancient path. So if you're ever confused and you're in a crossroad between left or right, stand and wait upon the Lord and ask for the ancient path. Ask what way is good. And then walk in it. The moment you hear the voice of God, obey and walk in it. Because when we don't obey, then it leads to more confusion, right? Mm. And then you will find rest for your soul. So it kills the restlessness when you wait.
Mm.
Waiting is a form of worship. It shows that you trust God. So not just moving on every word of that you hear and just believing that, oh my God, God has spoken, I'm going to go. Wait at those crossroads. And wait for him to show you left or right. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I think this is a good time to hear another recording from one of our friends.
So, my testimony was from the first two episodes of the podcast I listened to. First one was Two Girls and a Good God, Fit Dima. And then the second one was the advice-ish romantic confessions I did morning, or how do I heal? So I was at two very different but down moments of my life when I listened to those two different podcasts. And I can't explain both the healing, the reassurance and the confirmations that it brought to me. It was just a general sense of peace, a general sense of, look, God has been here in this situation. God is going to help you through it. He's going to help you out of it. And then you're going to look back and understand that everything that has happened is actually shaping you for something. So I am really, really grateful for this podcast. It's one that I always recommend to my friends. And I pray God continues to bless everyone that's at work to bring it to us. Thank you.
She said that everything you go through is shaping you for something. And I know sometimes I wrestle with God and I say,
I hope the depth of the love that I pour out at your feet is not a waste.
Yeah.
I hope that you're not just like, because sometimes there is a tendency to think that God just watches us and he's like, oh, cute, right? But the Bible says he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And I believe that there are so many painful situations we all go through in our lives, like, and a lot of them that I've had to revisit on the course of this podcast. And one thing I know is that nothing is wasted, right? There is a compassion that I now have for people struggling with their mental health because of how I've struggled.
Mm-hmm.
There's a compassion I have for people who have been bullied or suffer with insecurities because of what bullying looked like when I was dealing with it with people who are closest to me. Nothing is wasted. There is no way that honey, when poured out, loses its sweetness. The enemy tries to make us bitter, but everything God allows in our lives is to make us better.
Yeah.
And my prayer is that everyone will continue, like she said, to look at your lives and see that everything that has happened was to the glory of God. Let's hear from another fan of the podcast. P.S. I love her voice.
I love, love, love You Can Rest Here podcast. Those days are sacred for me because of the podcast. And I love how after each episode, I feel seen and I feel heard. And I feel like this podcast was published for me. Like, it's almost like I can hear, this is for you. Because at the end of the podcast, there's always so much to learn. There's always so much to glean. And it's very applicable. It's like, I have like action points. Okay, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to be better after listening to the podcast. Thank you so much, Maz.
Okay, one of my favorite things is that the podcast is very practical. There's always something that I could change. There was always something that I could actively do after hearing from the podcast.
I think that for me was very important because we're not supposed to be just hearers of the word, but also doers. And I wanted people to feel like what I've spoken about isn't so far-fetched,
mm-hmm.
that they could actually do it. Because the testimony of the Christian life is that what you see in scripture is also applicable to you and is also doable.
Yeah.
Okay, she mentioned something about always feeling seen and heard by God. And obviously that's something that all of us want or desire. So do you ever feel, or do you always feel seen and heard by God?
I would love to tell you yes. Like, of course, like, God always looks at me and I always feel his presence all the time. But one thing I've learned is that I can't always move based on my feelings, right? And just because sometimes I don't feel God doesn't mean that God isn't close, right? It's not all the time I feel God is there. It's not all the time that I feel like he can see me or he is in the same space I'm in, or he cares about everything I'm dealing with, but I know it. So my knowledge of who he is always trumps over how I feel. Because if I go into the scripture, it says, cast all your cares for the Lord because he cares for you. So I'm not going to be like, God, I don't feel like you care about me. I'm going to be like, God, your word says you care about me, therefore you do. So even if in my flesh sometimes I do feel and can feel neglected by God, especially when it comes to areas of waiting, I know that I'm not forgotten because God has promised that he sees me, he loves me. Before he formed me in my mother's womb, he knew me. So I use that truth to triumph over what I feel.
Yeah, and I remember there was one time I was going through something where I felt like God wasn't hearing me. And I remember sitting in my room and just shouting and saying, are you even hearing me? And I think that was the first time that I heard the name Elroy, and he dropped it. And so I had to search it up, and it was, I not only hear you, I see you.
So that was just very profound.
Okay, so tell us, what's something that you're expectant, or what's something that you're really excited about? Obviously, aside from God.
Obviously.
Something, and I'm going to be honest, something that I'm really excited about is marriage. One clap in your hands.
Because we're excited.
Something I'm really excited about is marriage. And remember that I said marriage and not a wedding.
Mm.
Marriage and not my wedding dress.
Mm.
Marriage and not like the cake I'm going to eat or the color of my bridesmaid's dresses. I'm not going to have bridesmaids, but the color of, so sorry to all my friends who are just put out. But that's not what I'm excited about. I'm excited that God's purpose for marriage will be realized in my life. That's what excites me. I believe that when God, I've been reading Genesis at the moment and just getting an understanding of why God designed one and two to be together, male and female, to come together and become one, right? Two separate people, separate walks of life, yeah, to be joined. Why would he want that? Because of the fruits that could be born. Because, like my mentor said to me, one will chase 1,000, two will chase 10,000. So there's a manifestation of the glory of God that I know I am not walking into until I am joined to my husband. So marriage excites me, not just because of the romance and the love and all these other really nice things that come with marriage. Marriage excites me because of the will of God being made manifest through two people coming together to become one, to become joined, and just what that would look like, what that would feel like, and what that would serve to a generation that is losing their belief in monogamy, losing their belief in marriage, mm-hmm, to restore that. And I'm not, one thing I'm not trying to do, and God knows, I believe in the sacredness of marriage, and I believe, like, I want to keep my love life very private and sacred, right? But what I do want is that, just like how the local church has so much impact, even if people don't see it all the time, I want to be in a marriage that has so much impact to the people around us, not just to people we don't know, right? So I want to have a marriage that has the ability to transform nations. Because if one can chase 1,000,
yes,
now me and my husband are going to chase 10,000. And we're going to do more for God than we could ever have done individually. So yeah, marriage definitely excites me. And like, I guess beyond that, just staying in the will of God, building the businesses that I'm building, and just seeing God do what only God can do, the miraculous in my life, really.
Oh.
So what are your thoughts concerning marriage? Is it something that excites you? You know, I spoke in the episode with my mom that I didn't really desire marriage for a very long time. But the moment that desire came, I had to accept it and walk in it.
Okay, now I'm in a place where I do desire marriage. Which is so, it's a big deal for me. And like my friends, I'm sure my friends wouldn't believe it if I told them now, because I used to be the number one hater. I used to be so anti-marriage. Well, not like I was actively like, if you're getting married, you're wrong. But I was just like, this thing is not great. Like, it's not a good thing. I didn't believe that married women especially were happy. Marriage felt very brown to me, like the color brown, like the brown that you see in Nollywood movies. Like, I just felt like it was dull, like behind closed doors. I felt like they were smiling in public, but at the behind closed doors, everybody was just not happy. Yeah.
And I think what you sense is the truth. A lot of people are not happy in their marriages. And I don't believe that we've seen healthy marriages.
Yeah.
I don't think that we even know what it looks like to be in a healthy marriage or a healthy relationship, right? Like, for anyone who's watching Love is Blind right now, like, this show is sending me. So, Ethel had asked me earlier, what is something that
Like, I do, what's my hobby? I don't really have hobbies. Like, Jesus is really my hobby. And I guess I would say hanging out with my friends, my boyfriend, like, yeah, that's really it. But now, Love is Blind is my hobby. And what I found is happening in our generation is, in a quest to be more vulnerable with the person we're dating, there's a lot of trauma bonding that's happening.
Oh, yeah.
So why people are not happy is because they base the origin, the genesis, and their love for each other based upon their traumas. And, oh my God, you've been through a lot. I've been through a lot too. Let's come together, you know? But that's not enough to make a marriage healthy or even loving. So I hear you. We haven't had a lot of healthy marriages or seen it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what I keep saying is that, God, if you design something and human beings are failing to meet your design, it is not your fault. It is theirs.
Yeah.
It's on them for not adhering to the principles that you have set for them to meet, right? My mom always says that she's the favor carrier. And this thing is so deep. And my mom says to me that, I will love your father well and all the time. Why? Because I don't want him to lose his favor. So she's like, no matter what it is, no matter what we go through, I will always love him. Because the Bible says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtaineth favor. So she knows that if she withdraws or withholds her love from him, he loses his favor.
Oh, wow.
So that is not just beneficial to him to now have favor. Her entire family is blessed because she's dispersing her favor onto him. Marriage, from what I know, I'm not married, sounds like a lot of work. But I think sometimes we glorify the suffering of marriage over the beauty of it. I choose not to believe that I will suffer in marriage. I choose not to believe that marriage is just going to be difficult, and it's, of course, it's going to be stretching. But like, what was God's design for marriage, and what can we do? What can we learn even now being single that will help us to be better wives?
Yeah. And I think what one of the things that the Lord did to help me, because I spent some time praying, that I was like, God, please tell me that you've called me to be alone forever. Like, just tell me that you've called me to be a nun. Because I felt like if he told me that, then he would give me the grace for it. But he said no, and no, and no, and no. So I was like, okay, if you are determined that I get married, then show me what marriage is, because I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing it in a good... What I'm seeing is not good. And I refuse to believe that that's where I'll be. Like, I just refuse to believe that I would have a marriage where I'll be scared that, am I cooking enough? Is the soup sweet? Would they send me back to my... Ew. Just no. I will not do it. I will not have it. It's the ghetto. It's not for me.
None of it is God's design.
None of it. And the Holy Spirit, because... Everything that I know about marriage, everything that I love about marriage is from the Holy Spirit. He was my only teacher. And so now, I remember the day that I realized that I no longer had a hatred for marriage. And I cried. I cried and I cried, and I was like, now that you've done this, I feel a lot more vulnerable. What does this mean? Why? It felt like a lot.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, because the Holy Spirit was my only teacher, he's the only person that I trust to fulfill it. I know that me...
You can't trust yourself.
I 100%.
It makes no sense to compete with someone in love. It makes no sense to love somebody like Christ loved the church for the men.
Mm-hmm.
It makes no sense to want to submit to somebody.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. None of this is in our fleshly desire to do. And I just want you to know that you're going to have a peaceful marriage.
Amen.
And it's going to be fun.
Amen.
And it's going to be a testimony of the real thing. For there to be the fake, there's the real thing.
Yeah.
So you will experience the real thing. And because it is your heart's desire to be like, God, show me that real thing, you will experience
it. Amen.
and there will be no compromise. There will be no confusion when the time is right. You will know the way to go and you will walk in it.
Amen.
Hello. So this is my personal experience for listening to the podcast, You Can Rest Here. What this podcast has done for me is to show me a new light on how to enjoy the rest of God. I mean, it doesn't take away the fact that sometimes I still experience some unrest or troubles around me. But now my perspective has changed. I focus on Jesus instead of the problems. And in that return, I enjoy only the peace that He gives, even sometimes my mind can't understand it. So thank you, Mans, for yielding to Jesus. And I am definitely resting with this podcast.
One thing she mentioned is like just keeping your eyes on Jesus. And sometimes, like, I think people ask me, don't you have worries? Like, I had an Exhale evangelism call, and this is a community where I teach classes on evangelism, and I was crying on the call whilst we were worshiping. And that's because I was feeling the weight of something that I was a worry that I was having. And what happens is that I do feel restlessness sometimes, you know? I do feel it, but it always is a tap for me to know, okay, Maz, you're taking your eyes where it's not supposed to be.
Yeah.
You're trying to take control and ownership over something you should have given unto the Lord. And instantly, the Lord began to show me a picture of how the waves were crashing in. And He was asleep in a boat. And sometimes trusting God looks like laziness to the human eye. Sometimes that silence God wants you to have to release power onto release power and control from yourself to Him often looks like nothingness. But as I just sat still, I just felt God swoop in to come and take over the situation. And I'd love to tell you that now everything has been fixed and whatever, but I've not picked up that worry again, because what differentiates me from someone with God and someone without God? What is the difference between one who walks with God and who doesn't? There is a safety and an assuredness that we have that people who don't walk with Him cannot have. Our lives must bear witness of that safety. My life is safe in God, even if the wind comes and the rain pours, because my house is built on the Lord.
Yeah.
I am firm. I cannot be shaken. As long as I have God in my boots and I'm in the boots with Him, I'll sleep. I'll rest. My worrying adds nothing to my life. All it does is add stress and anxiety. So instead of worrying, I'll tell God, show me how you're going to do this, because I ain't got the answers, swing. You know, I don't have the answers.
And I feel like tying into what I mentioned earlier about, you know, resting and feeling like I was in a bubble was so ironic, because I felt like my life was so chaotic. Like, normal me, that was such an insane time in my life. Like, my life was utter chaos. Everything was unfinished. Everything was just springing up from nowhere. But I think that was the real testimony, that even in that, I was like, God is going to sort it out. God was like, why would I be worrying about this? Like, God is going to sort it out. So I think that's the real testimony, the testimony of our hearts and our heart posture.
Oh, I love that.
Hello, I'm Suzanne. You Can Rest Your podcast has definitely helped me be more intentional with my walk with God. And I have realized that God's word and His presence gives true healing. I'm in a process of healing, and the podcast has given me that boost that I needed. I've discovered a peace that I can't explain to a mere mind. I'm also encouraged. I've been encouraged to step into my calling and to talk to people more about Jesus. So thank you, Maz, for being an expression of the love of Christ.
First of all, We just love her voice. We absolutely love Made for You Can Rest Here.
Yes. I love that she mentioned the podcast has just aided her into stepping into her calling. And as weird as it sounds, it's also pushed me into stepping into mine, because I'm on episode 12. When I first started the podcast, all of this looked very impossible. So I now have faith to do more than I've ever done before, you know? And what about you? Like, would you say the same?
Definitely, but in the area of rest, as the Instagram corner is, yeah. Because I've just been pushed into laying it all at God's feet. Truly resting in the true sense of the word, like rest roundabout. There's a scripture that says he will give us rest roundabout. And that's what I think I've been stepping more into. Truly letting go of worry, not just saying that I'm going to let go of worry and saying that I'm going to let go of anxiety, but truly letting go, truly laying things at God's feet, giving things to God, and like you said, not taking it back, not withdrawing what I've already surrendered to him, surrendering every single day, waking up every day and saying, you know, God, I trust you. And that's one thing I've learned to say to God a lot, but I trust you with my life. I trust you with my life.
Too. And I love that as a final prayer, as we round up the final episode of season one, is that I pray over every single one of you that what you've learned from these past few weeks is the nature of God, the heart of God, and the love of God. And that you will fight every single day to rest in your identity as his child. And you will never accept the fear that the world tries to impose on you, the messaging that tries to tell you that you need to work and strive into rest, but you will stay in that place of rest. No matter what storms are raging around you, you will remain at rest, because there is a rest that is reserved for the children of God, and you must enter into it. So guys, I've enjoyed being your host for the past season. I can't wait for season two. I can't wait for season two. We have a very special event, actually a couple of special events coming up very soon. Yes. And we will be announcing it all. So please stay tuned by following us on our Instagram page at You Can Rest Here Pod, just to keep up to date with everything we have going on. We're also going to be releasing a lot of cool merch in a month and maybe a bit. So it's really cool. Like, I promise you, it's merch like you've never seen merch before. So guys, I love you. I thank you for coming on this journey with me. I thank you for letting me wash your feet and love you. And this isn't by for long. Season two is not going to be far away, I promise. But your girl is off on a break, and I'm going to be praying for you all every single day. With love, Maz out.